just to quickly recap, all views are kept in the WebSkin folder, and so we have a folder that corresponds to the specific type in question. So the flight folder corresponds to the flight CFC that we've just built. So we need a new view. All views are simply CFM templates. They're not components or anything else. They can contain anything. Obviously, they're a Coefficient template, but they should typically just contain effectively a CF output statement and your outputted HTML or XML or whatever it happens to be that you're outputting in the particular view in question.
So I've just updated the app now, so I should be able to come in here. And this is the first sort of introduction to the friendly URLs or the naming conventions that we use on the URL. So if I go back to the flight CFC.
Jeff, with the naming conventions, they have to match.
Which?
Like you've got flight in as your...
As far as the framework's concerned, the WebSkin folder here must be exactly the same as the name of the component that you're rendering views for.
And you've got the different names as well, like display type, display teaser.
Okay, so in terms of the convention for how we actually name views, you can have any convention you want. If you follow our convention, then there's a lot of implicit stuff that's done in the frameworks. In other words, Matt's put in a thing here that's called display type body, I think you saw. And you notice all we've got is this will be my list of flights inside that view. And yet, it's got all of these other things which are kind of floating around, a header, a footer, the navigation, the whole lot. What's actually happening, and I don't know how well we can explain this. Maybe we need to go to the whiteboard and talk about the view stack page layout.
No, we'll quickly do the...
Yeah, ignore that that's going on, and we'll come back to why there's actually something sitting around that view, and it's not just the HTML that's being outputted.
What's DM the short for?
DM is short historically for daemon. So all new here, not Dungeon Master, all new Far Cry core content types start FAR now. There's no namespacing policy, so there could be conflicts. Even though that's the coolest thing in Coefusion, we always say never put the queries inside the view. They should be a function which you're calling on the component. Yeah, we'll move it later. So it's just easier to be able to see everything in the one line rather than having to break it all up. And it's we just have a prefix of skin. It could be anything. It sits in the web skin tags folder, so hence the skin prefix. But view essentially renders another view on another object somewhere. In this case, we're saying object ID is equal to some specific object, and the web skin is this display label. Display label is a default web skin that appears in core. It's part of the framework.
Display type body, this renderer on the skin is actually to display a list of flights. It's not actually a skin for a flight.
That's exactly right.
This is replacing a container of flights. This is like a flight container.
Maybe it's good to go through...
Once we've got all the bits, I think, then we can go back and, well...
I think we should quickly just show the OmniGraffle thing and say, you know, how these... The problem for us is sometimes we're explaining this to an audience, which is we're just building views, just take our word for it, this is how you do it. And other times people want to actually know the nuts and bolts about how the framework is actually working, like why are these decisions being made in the first place, rather than just telling me to do stuff in a rote sort of fashion. So you have to understand Far Cry's concept of model view controller and why things are executed in the way that they are in order to get a good handle on exactly what's going on. So the documentation we showed earlier today, the autodocs, gives you all the copious amounts of detail on exactly what's going on.
Eclipse dictionaries. So if you install the Eclipse dictionary, you'll get all the tag help and tag insight. I don't have any installed here, but if I did a CF loop, that the Coefusion tag gives me all those attributes. Sorry.
I'll swap back for you.
So I've gone CF loop, and it brings up all the attributes that I have available on that CF loop tag. It's called Coefusion tag. Similar go if we install the Far Cry dictionary. If I put in a Far Cry tag, like this skin build link, for instance, and in space, it would give me all the attributes.
So in my talk tomorrow, actually, there's a whole talk on the view inheritance cascade, which is basically my effort in CF Objective to sort of say a quick 50 minutes through what I think is one of the most awesome aspects of Far Cry, which is the view and some of the key features that we address. One of the things I think that's important to think about, and this is very simplistic, I know, but a lot of people think of MVC as got a request comes in, the controller makes some interpretation of that request, and it brings together a view and a model, which then render out to some kind of user interface. How that happens, how that wiring occurs, whatever goes on, depends on the framework, and many frameworks address it in a lot of different ways, and obviously much more sort of complex interactions in that simple diagram. In Far Cry, it's a little bit more kind of in this kind of way. Ignore that that's a double-headed arrow, it should just be a single-headed arrow. But we have a request comes in, the controller interprets it, and we always go to the model first, always. And the view is actually executed in the context of the model, always. So this is, I think, a fundamental thing for people who are new to Far Cry, who come from other frameworks, to kind of understand, is that whenever we execute a view, it's always based on some content type, for example. There are other options, but typically a content type, which in turn calls the view. So whenever you look at a page like we're looking at the flight, we are in fact instantiating behind the scenes a flight object, and we are calling a view on that object. It doesn't matter what happens in Far Cry, whenever the controller is acted, it's always sought out something in the model to actually execute the view on. So views are never not related to a specific content type in the system. So it's a slightly different kind of model. I think what was really interesting for us is that Django, which is the Python kind of CMS du jour at the moment, or web application framework, has been around for a while, nowhere near as long as Far Cry, obviously, but they use exactly the same model. They call it the MTV model, model template view. And they have a similar kind of concept where the controller is in charge of locating the correct object to execute on, and it could be an instance, or it could actually be just the type itself, like flight. You notice the listing of flights. It's not one specific record from the database. It's just the concept of flights.
When you say the controller, that means like basically looking at the URL and trying to look.
Correct. So there's several things that affect how the controller behaves. So typically, from our perspective, from the framework perspective, without even looking at any of the kind of enhancements that have been done for advanced content management, it's really looking at interpreting the URL. Interestingly enough, though, inside Far Cry, we have an entire friendly URL engine, which essentially is a critical part of the controller, really, because you can look at a URL and it might bear no resemblance whatsoever to what you think is being interpreted in the controller, because it's literally a record in a database which is looked up, and the table record for that particular friendly URL has a whole series of designated parameters that are going to be passed into the controller. Why is that important? I don't know. Friendly URLs are critical, and in content management, it's SEO, search engine optimization, is absolutely fundamental that the URL does not have parameters on it. And it's not that it's not indexed, it's that most of the engines these days have very significant weightings towards keywords that they can locate out of the URL. Plus, for reporting purposes and the rest of it, if you try to ever look at a statistics report that's based on a parameterized URL, it's almost impossible to determine what's going on. So friendly URLs are critical. And we started in the old days of Far Cry with parameterized URLs, which effectively instructed the controller. And then we moved to these friendly URLs, which effectively hid those parameters in a string which could be looked up and then passed to the controller. And now we have this combination of both a constructed URL and a friendly URL. Depends which one. You can choose whichever you like. Doesn't really matter to the framework. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the controller gets a series of parameters which is digested, if you like, from the URL, and then it invokes whatever object and view that it should see inside inside the rest of the core framework. You must have a friendly URL setting turned on. There's basically a rewrite, like a one-line rewrite that we put inside Apache or IIS that will make that happen. But you can run without the rewrite, and it will parameterize every URL.
So that's the actual unadorned
Index.cfm, you would have type equals something, view equals something, body view equals something, object ID equals something. Yeah.
And also, what you're saying that how you're saying everything has to come off a type.
Yep.
So if you just have pages on your site where the page isn't actually, the page is actually like a, isn't necessarily a type, do you sort of create a site?
It's a DMHTML page.
A DMHTML page. So even in that case,
it's an HTML page. There's always a content type that represents that. Even if it's a totally external service, there's always something, a content type, that represents that. So it might be, in effect, like a hybrid record, which has, okay, this content type is the hook into the whole framework, and all its purpose in life is when you say get data to it, it actually does a web service call somewhere else and returns a data record back.
So when you say it goes to the model layer, that basically means it's fetching that data.
Correct. And we'll show you that the next step that Matt will go through is actually show you what transfer object is actually passing that data to the view. What do you get when you actually instantiate a view? All of that's managed for you. You don't have to say, I'm creating this particular type and I'm going to extract this record and I'm now going to pass it into a view. It knows that you've already got that record in the first place. The controller's worked all of that out. And when you render a view, it's passed in a series of structures which are direct from the database or direct from the environment. But last thing I wanted to show you was this kind of concept's a little bit more advanced. You've got your request response comes in, and you notice how we're doing this. This is the thing we had before. We have a model, and we call a view on it. But in actual fact, what happens is we have every page is really a compound view, and I don't want to get too kind of wrapped, composite view, sorry, where you've got like a header, maybe the central body of the page, a footer, and each of these are views in their own right. So the header's a view, the main guts of the page is a view, the footer's a view. And in the main guts of the page, you may have a right-hand column and a left-hand column. And they may all be views that are independently being executed from the system.
So is it like a recursive call for the views and then it gets aggregated into presentation?
Correct. So when you look at... there is a structure called STObj, which is the structure of the object that you're calling, that always gets passed into the view at all times. So in this particular case, it'll be a little bit unusual. I know, okay, you're going to do it there. It's an instance.
So it's actually being called as an include, not as a tag.
It's an include as part of the...
A function call.
It's a part of the function call, so it's inside of a...
It's in the context of that
function.
That's a very good question. So when you actually execute a view... Yeah, the statement.
Yep.
Sorry, that it's... Yeah.
I noticed that STObject didn't have attributes.STObject, so that meant that this wasn't being called as a custom tag with its own variable scope.
Yeah.
And so I was just confirming that this was actually being... inside the framework, when the view is being used, it's being included, not called as a custom tag.
It's actually arguments.STObj.
Arguments.STObject. Oh, because you're actually...
It's passed into the function.
So it's sort of safe, so you're actually in a local variable.
Correct.
The danger of an include is that if you're in a variable scope of your call, then you might accidentally mark something up. But if it's sort of being carefully managed by
that's
the user...
That's right. But it's a very good point in that, and something I didn't want to labour on, but you'll notice this query, I've got the name is Q, which is actually going to go into the variable scope of the function, and we would potentially have a problem with that. So that needs to go into, we have a structure available, ST local. So now that's safe because that's been varred as part of the function. But that's probably just relevant to you.
But it would be okay if it was, I see what you're saying. It might actually go into the internal private scope of the CFC.
Of the CFC, which could potentially cause you some problems at a later state. There are effectively three setup scopes specifically for a view and executes. When we talk about it in the kind of, when you're doing WebSkins 101, it's literally, here's STObj, it's provided to you, it's a direct transfer object of the data record, the active record in the database that corresponds to this instance, and it's provided for you in the view, and you can just reference it with anything, standard ColdFusion, bit of HTML, whatever you like. There's also STParam, which is a set of parameters that can be passed into a view. When you call a view, you can supplement it with additional parameters. So when Matt's doing this thing here where he says skin view object ID web skin, he could pass additional parameters which would be wrapped up, passed in as a structure to the view so that you can actually have the view respond in some way to its environment. And last but not least, the ST local scope, which is it's purely there to protect your variables from being just varred correctly, basically.
You could just use local dot, but that wasn't ever available.
Well, is the CFC that you're calling, is the CFC calling this a cache CFC?
No, it's not.
Is that actually instantiated per request?
It's instantiated per request. However, some people have incorporated Cold Spring. So Mayo uses Cold Spring, so that's very important for them because it is a cache copy of the CFC, and we've done some framework changes to allow us to use that as well. And so this, and what we're going to provide is sort of like a var scoper that'll run through all your web skins. It says all these things aren't scoped if you swap over to.
The problem.
You just execute the skin and then just go look in the scope to see what variables.
We don't. We actually do a regex function, but that's not a bad idea.
Some of the things that we have as a problem, like if we instantiate the content type each and every time, mainly because we can never trust people who use the system to correctly var their variables. We have actually, as Matt was saying, engineered the framework so that you can turn on a persistent object call so that every time you call, it's always just referring to effectively a lib that's sitting there in application scope. But then you have the problems with people not correctly varring their variables in the views. And because the views are deliberately excised from the functions, they're completely separate, they look like a standard ColdFusion template, you run standard tags in them, there's just, unfortunately, a tendency for people to just, no matter how much you beat them with a stick, they won't do it. And so we take the resource cost of instantiating the object for the page.
Which up until version 8, there was a little bit of a cost.
Yeah, version 8 is very quick, so
it's just negligible.
Why don't you call a tag? Why don't you have a tag, help other people have a tag that calls your include, maybe, so that you get your own scope?
We had...
The trouble is
we actually do things like, because it's called in the context of the
content
function,
type, yeah,
we can just go CFSet queue flights, which is a function on that ColdFusion component, equals get flights. Which wouldn't work if it was called as part of a tag. So there's some legacy things that
you could
involve.
There might be other things you could do, like injection or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the overhead perhaps, but it might be something worth, but it just works. So,
Which one's this?
This one's the type web skin.
Okay, so the type web skin has nothing in it, effectively. It looks a bit strange. There's actually a content, this is really nuts and bolts stuff, and you really don't need to know it to develop, but there's a special content type called FARCOAPI, which is effectively a content type for managing all of the registered content types in the system. And if you call a view on a content type, it effectively is an instance of that COAPI registration of types.
So the STOBJ defines the content type that you're running the view on, as opposed to when we call a regular view.
Yeah, we shouldn't really even show you the FARCOAPI one because you never reference that STOBJ. It's there as part of an artifact of the framework, but you'd never really reference it. This is a classic object that you would reference, so it's a direct record from the database. Here's the arrival airport. Here's the label for flight, which should be the same as the title. Here's the type name, so it's from flight component, and so on. Interestingly enough, you'll notice that there is an array, and it is a true array property that's already been worked out from the model. It's extracted all the references and provided with those object types IDs directly in the array, and you can act upon that array in the same way. You can call a view on one of these objects. So rather than attempting to render a passenger in the context of a flight, you would have a view that renders the passenger thumbnail, head, some bloke saying hello, and you'd call a view on that particular object ID.
Does the API actually work out the type from?
Yes, it will. You can provide the type, and that will improve the performance of your view call. Or alternatively, if you don't provide the type, it will automatically look it up for you. And although there's a lot of...
Does it have to go across all the tables to do that?
No, because type's actually in the array. It's in the array table, isn't it?
No.
We have a ref objects table,
But there's a couple of things it does. If it's never tried to look for that, object ID in the life of that application.
Yeah.
It has to go to a ref objects table, goes, looks for the object ID, okay, this is a passenger, go find it in there. But after it's grabbed that, it keeps a cache of this object ID means that, so it looks it up. But most of the time, you know what that type is, you just pass that type through it in the tag. So here's the object ID, here's the type name. I'm telling you what it is, don't bother looking it up.
It's a bit of a segue, but essentially all object calls are managed by the object broker. And so any time you make a call on the database, whatever work was required to recover those properties are immediately cached in a kind of a mini in-memory database of all objects, which are keyed by object ID. So once it's been cached, you don't have to know the type name or anything else. It'll just pluck that straight away from the object broker that's sitting in memory. And the object broker, it's basically hardwired into all of the CRUD calls. So as soon as you make an update, it flushes the broker and repopulates it. All of that's managed. You don't have to think about the caching of actual individual active calls to the database records that are in the system. You can obviously go direct to the database, force it to bypass. These are all parameters and options that are available in the framework. But typically, all that's happening is reference an object. Once it's called, it's stored in memory. The next time it's called, it just takes it straight from memory and displays it straight away. But you're always dealing with the structure. You're never dealing with a query record or anything else. It's a structure of variable value pairs. The variable name is always the name of the properties you've defined in your model. And the arrays are actually true arrays that sit there that you can, you know, obviously loop over and so on.
So I've now got my flight. The plane, remembering that it's a UUID, so it's a reference to another object. So the data that comes through is actually that UUID. So I'll fix that up in a moment. The departs and the time, haven't put any formatting on the time, and then the array of passengers. So the two things we're interested in are the plane. So to get the plane, I can simply do another skin view, if I like. Object ID equals, and there's my object ID. I could also tell it, you know, this, it's a plane, so you don't have to go and look it up. Web skin equals display label, which is, like Jeff said, just a web skin that's available, or a view that's available to everything, and it will just display the label.
Just to check, like, later on, there's some sort of container type tag as well, isn't there, where we actually specify criteria, and it deliberately goes and pulls back a list of web skins, or web skins for, you know how you have a container in Spectra?
Yes.
And you actually go and you specify all of the selection criteria, and, yep. And you can say what renderer to use. It goes out, pulls up the array of results, and then calls the renderer for each result.
Yep, that's one type of a rule.
It's a subsystem that we use for doing exactly the same thing we used to do in Spectra, where you have a region which a content contributor, a non-technical user, can go in and modify the attributes and behavior of that region. But from a programming perspective, we'd never call a container tag. We just call the view directly. There's skin view. There's also skin related, so you can actually go in and just say, just render out views for all of these related items. So you might have an array of objects rather than having to do the CF loop.
So skin view. Can you pass an array of, you know, flights to a view? Or is it only to that one we just saw, that funny, the one with the name?
An array of flights to a view, no. You would loop over the array and call the view on each of those items. However, there's a tag...
Which does that.
So yeah. This tag here where you'll notice, okay, I've just called the web skin on this to display label, so I'm now showing the label of the plane instead. This array of passengers, and I've just got the object ID of each passenger. So I can present that as a list just using skin related content. This is where I need my tag insight.
This file name display body CFM that sits inside the web skins for every
yep.
that particular
content type. Yep.
Display type body.
Is it possible to view the skin for the plane ID? Is it just a simple CF output?
Sorry, I missed that.
For the skin view, object ID is supposed to plane ID. The skin?
Yep.
How does the skin look like? Is it the code?
It's literally, I'll bring one up for you, display label... a whole bunch of metadata, and that's basically all it does, because we know that every single content type has a label, and so this is sitting inside of core, and when I Let me come back to label, because we're going to change it from label.
Yeah, we'll change it.
You know, provide a teaser, so instead of just the label.
We had this big plan for incrementally building the idea, which we're kind of blown out of the water by going to the nuts and bolts and back again. And so if we go through, we'll sit there and we'll build the view and make it more and more complicated. But just to begin with, really the most important thing to remember is it's just a CFM template, which the framework kind of, it works out the marshalling of how data is going to be passed to that template. And it gives you a structure which you can then render however you like with custom tags, ColdFusion tags, whatever it is that you do. That's the first step. And then the next step is to now start to perhaps understand how you can more readily bring those relationships, like passengers and so on, to the fore.
Okay. So here I've got my title, just passengers. And then I'm telling it, okay, for this object ID and this type name, from this type name, so it doesn't have to look it up itself. So for this flight, go and have a look at the A passengers. And for every one of those passengers, render out the display label in an unordered list. So it goes back to my object, the array, we saw the three passengers, loops over that, calls display label, and we end up with that display label.
Display label does the bullet, that's part of your...
That's because I said render type unordered. I could say an ordered list, or I could say
none,
I think.
Which is the default.
Which just...
And bear in mind, all that is doing is getting away from you having to say CF loop from position one of the array to the end of the array, and if it's the first position, then put in the UL, otherwise just put the LI, then put the closing. And there's a whole series of template tags, if you like, that make the process of building things in the view really easy and simple. And so it's... I mean, from our perspective, we're trying to build a framework that doesn't require anybody to understand frameworks to work in. And so the view is often people's biggest hurdle when you have frameworks that say, right, you need to instantiate some kind of a buffer which is going to start picking up all the HTML. Now, create an object and run a view which renders the top section of it. Now run a view which renders the next section of it. And then finally render the entire view out. And you've got a whole series of component calls and method calls that looks nothing like HTML development and nothing like what was the spirit of ColdFusion in the first place, which is you can look at something and you can all but understand exactly what's going to be outputted. And that's the kind of premise of the kind of Far Cry view. You could absolutely just render it by component call, render the method, component call, render the method, and generate a buffer, and then output a buffer. You could do all of those things. What we're doing is effectively hiding that behind the fact that you've got this CFM template. It looks like a standard procedural page, and we wrap that up in a buffer for you.
Oh, I know. I'm completely on the internet with you on that.
Yep.
Then we have, inspectors just for custom tags.
Yep. So just, same sort of thing.
Yeah, but what I was just trying to work out is that's really replacing... I'm just trying to map my old Spectre understanding across.
Yep.
And so
I'm not sure it maps to anything, but could...
Well, no, that's right. Well, that's rather like a container, because...
But we have container. We have a container tag.
But we're able to pass an array property there and actually...
Correct.
And I assume you can specify separators. Or we could, the render type, we could actually...
You'd be amazed. The container management inside Far Cry is very similar architecture to the original Far Cry 1, which was effectively ripped the theory off of Spectra, which has an A invocations array within the request scope, which you can populate with the publishing rule, and at the end of the container's execution, it loops through that array and executes a view, executes a view, executes a view. Absolutely, it's exactly what we do, and that's exactly how containers and publishing rules work. But from the sense of the view, well, it's slightly different, but conceptually it's the same. Yeah, you're right. Conceptually it's the same, but it's not executing in the same way behind the scenes.
With that web skin, do we specify separators? Or with the, you know how you have those view render types?
Yep.
Can you add new kinds of render type?
You would probably create your own custom tag in this particular instance. I mean, the reason why we do related content is because we're really big on explicit relationships between content. If you make a we encourage contributors to say, you know, this news item is related to this individual, or this flight is related to this plane, to make those explicit relationships all the time. So there are a series of tags which making those kind of rendering of those relationships very straightforward, but they're not a core part of the framework per se. I mean, this is at the This is the view that's being rendered. The compound view at the top will have lots of these little ones come down like a container, but we're kind of within the view inside the container being executed, if you know what I'm saying.
So is skin, is that package, like the skin class, they ask for core parts of the Far Cry, are they Far Cry core? Do you consider
yes.
The skin is Far Cry core? Okay, and the related content is there, isn't it? I'm just trying to work it out, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, right,
a core tag.
Yeah.
So you can see where we've imported the tag library. This is the location. So it's sitting inside of core tags WebSkin. Oh. This is another set of tags, just a grid set of tags that allows you to
use Blueprint CSS.
Blueprint CSS.
To just render the page in columns and.
It also allows me to put divs on the page without having to open up a CF output, put a div. I can just say a grid div, close grid div, just. That's the only reason. Anyway, so in regards to what you were saying, this skin-related content, which looped over the array and called display teaser now, I've just replaced that. That's basically all it's doing. Oops.
With none,
yeah. Yeah, looping over that array and calling the view on each one. So instead of that code, it's often easier just for people to write that.
I can imagine you might have an array which has mixed types. So an array, there's an object. It's a pure object reference. It can actually, you could have passengers and have a multitude of different objects. Your passengers could hold a human object and a pet object and a tool object or whatever. So you could have a cargo. A cargo could be made up of passengers and elephants and whatever the hell it is. When you output skin related, you can actually put a filter on there which says only show those related items that are in fact elephants, and it will show them, or files, or people, or, and so it's really just a handy way of rendering views. It's not really part of the framework. It's just simplifying access to the framework, which I think is what custom tags should be all about.
Okay, so now instead of display label, I've now calling a WebSkin called display teaser, which I created. All the teaser's doing is wrapping a p tag.
Hey, hello there. Good to see you.
And then and wrapping a link around that name, and then now we're linking off. We're onto the landing page of the person, off the passenger.
Okay, code reuse footage. We were going to break down everything and start looking at how compound views are built and then look at the WebSkin trace, view stacks, toying with the stack, mm-hmm. decorators.
Okay, so what do you want
to do? Just one comment. Can you go back to your graphics slide?
Yep.
Just another quick question. The IDs generated for the objects, the plain ID, EDC, are they generated by the framework, or is it like internal database which generates special?
They're all generated by the framework. We used to use Create UUID in ColdFusion, but unfortunately there's kind of a bug in the ColdFusion Create UUID.
It's just random, so...
It's a proper ColdFusion UUID, but we actually instantiate a series of Java classes to generate the UUID, but it corresponds exactly to what the Adobe ColdFusion UUID is. It's different to the GUID that you get in.
Identifier. Yeah.
But importantly, it's different to the GUIDs you get in, say, Microsoft SQL Server. If you specified UUID from the database point of view, it's a different format. So it's very specifically the ColdFusion UUID format. But, yeah, interestingly enough, we have to instantiate Java class files to do that. But, yep, that aside.
So
yep.
You were basically saying, what you're saying there about the way you're approaching the view, the MTV from the...
Yep, from the Django people, yeah.
It's sort of similar in direction to what Naked Object's doing.
Do you know?
Naked Object, it's really a Java framework where you basically define a plain old Java object.
Yep.
And then everything else gets built around it automatically.
I think it's fascinating these guys are ripping us off. I mean, there's been... We were there in the first days. I mean, it really was an eye-opener for us going through... Somebody said to us, Django looks like it's exactly the same as Far Cry. And we start going through the documentation for Django, for example, explaining the framework and explaining this concept of grabbing some aspect of the model so we have an object in place and now we add a view. And then when we read through that thing, and we could just replace the word Django for Far Cry, and it would be exactly the same description of how we tackle rendering the view, which for us was interesting because everyone else does it differently, and everyone else looks at Far Cry views often and says, what the fuck's going on there? It just doesn't make any sense. It's Spectra-like, yeah, in terms of the content API has, you're not looking at a database record, you're looking at an object which has already been kind of pre-mastered and delivered to you. And so we do exactly the same thing. I think that original concept was great. I mean, its execution in the schema was lousy, but its concept was really good. And so the object broker, which is the kind of cache which holds all of those objects in memory the whole time and rotates them and flushes them and does everything it needs to do behind the scenes, effectively eliminates all the performance bottlenecks that you might otherwise perceive from saying grabbing one active record that has three arrays is going to be one call, two calls, three calls, four calls to the database to assemble that record, take it, pack it away, and we're apples. We move on. So it now means that every time we render a view, we've got that structure just to pass straight into the view. I don't know whether we want to go down to breaking down. Do you want to go into breaking headers, footers, and maybe we quickly talk about that. What I wanted to say is, talking about this compound view a little bit more, if you look at something like just a real-world website, let's look at UNSW TV, one of the things we love and adore. So UNSW TV, massive media portal, but in effect, apart from all the magic going on behind the scenes, it's just a standard everyday website. It's got a header and a footer at the bottom. We can go anywhere in this website, and the header and the footer at the bottom are pretty much always the same. It's a good... They've published something on the site with nothing in it. That's...
Videos, there's just no collections.
Sorry, no collections, yeah. Sometimes you can't help content contributors. With great power comes great responsibility, eh? So if we drill down to any particular video, we have... exactly the same sort of thing going on. The header and the footer are the same. And this is common across all websites. You have this sense that not only is the individual header and footer the same, but the layouts are the same. You're either looking at a one-column view or a two-column view, or maybe if you're unfortunately, you've got a three-column view. Some websites have the column on the left, the column on the right. Doesn't matter, but effectively the website always has the same set of layouts. That's a typical kind of code reuse scenario. Headers and footers are easy because they're kind of, you conceive them as kind of embedded items. Build a custom tag, stick in a header, stick in a footer. But the layouts are tougher. How do you share layouts across different aspects of your website? Typically people will cut and paste. So they'll cut and paste, here's a new layout. Same layout, but a different content type, or cut and paste, and away we go. In Far Cry, you have the concept of a generic view. This is actually a view that can be attached to multiple content types. So rather than having a one-column page layout as a view for news and for events and for the plane and for the passenger, you just say there is a generic view called a one-column layout. Because in reality, the only thing that's changing between each of these layouts is this section here, the kind of body section, the guts of the page. There is a fragment of that page called the body, if you like, which is essentially the only thing changing between one content type and the next. So if you remember back to what we're actually calling that view, it was display type body. It's in actual fact, all we're doing is rendering the middle section of the view only and nothing else. The layout page is a generic view which comes from elsewhere in your project and just gets placed in situ. So if we flick back to Matt's screen and have a look at that original views that we were building, this guy here has only got a label which is being output of Jeff Bowers, but you've got the header, you've got the footer, you've got everything in place, which is a generic view across all of the content types. And how on earth do you do that? Remember, a view is always bound to a type or a class of some kind. You can actually have views on the abstract class. So you can have a view on types. You remember, all content types extends this thing called types, which is in the framework which binds everything together. You can have a view directly on types, and automatically this view, you can see the folder, sorry, that folder, pull the folder back up, just here, types as display body, display footer standard, display header standard, display page standard. They are in fact bound to every one of these content types. So if you look at the views available for flight, it has a display page standard automatically. It has a display header, footer, and body. When we introduce something into the flight folder, all we want to do is really potentially replace the generic view with something that is unique to that particular content type. And it immediately allows us to share layouts across a page. It's two objects, fine. It doesn't seem like it's a lot of effort. If you go to something like Vancouver 2010, the Olympics site, there are like 20 different content types. And to have to render a single column layout view for every content type just drives you nuts. They're all exactly the same, pretty much, except for the internals, which you want to swap out and render. Same even for UNSW. There are a whole heap of things behind the scenes that share the same layouts. We don't have to keep repeating the layouts each time. We just have this concept of a generic view. I don't know of anything else that does it, this concept of being able to bind to the abstract class. Because you can have your own abstract classes. If you had... Spec does it, yeah. So if you had...
It's a good idea.
If you had something like Mayo Clinic's a really good example. They have a whole number of different medical type of documents that share a similar set of metadata. They have their own particular approach to doing SEO and keywording up their documents. And so across all of those libraries, something like 25 different content types they have to describe the different sorts of media assets they have within the system, they have a common set of metadata for all these things, common edit handler for all of these things, common ways of rendering these views. They actually have an abstract class called, I think it's just Mayo Article or Mayo Media or something like that, and everything extends that. Mayo Media extends types, and so they can drop their own generic web skins directly into the abstract class just for their particular abstract class, which is then replicated across all the individual content types that they run. And we've done all the form tools. You see how it automatically renders the edit handlers. You can get in there and do that. That's automatically done. They need an SEO edit handler. It's the same across every content type. They write one, it's done. It's across every single content type in the system. And it's trying to get all of those concepts of inherited views and everything else without talking about inheritance or talking about objects or components or anything else. The other thing is overriding. So if I have, obviously display label comes from core, and it kind of bubbles its way up from, remember that stack when the application loads, we've got core loads, that all the plugins load in a kind of a stack, and finally you've got the project at the top. If you nominate display label down the bottom, it'll appear here inside your project, and you can just override it by popping in display label into individual either types if you want to, the types folder, or the specific content type you want to override to be unique. So if your label is going to have, I don't know, a timestamp attached to it, no problem. You just stick it in there and away you go. That's why all the form tools are kind of, you can modify the way the behavior of the libraries work. They're all bubbling up these default views from the framework, and you can go, yeah, but that view, it's just not going to work here. I'll change it to my own little view, and it just pops in, and automatically the form control shows that specific view.
The taskbar that's defined in this
standard view. Now, that's such a great question. If we click on this taskbar, and it comes up now with this is old school, but old and busted, not just, you know, soon to be replaced, but it's still.
We don't
have it here, so you can't see it off the screen. This is a view that comes in specifically for, you know, flights. Obviously, it's a default view. It doesn't show you anything other than the URL you've called and the web skin. But you could have anything there. And we often add things for the contributor, which are stuff that might help them know more about that particular content type, that are going to help their particular editing job. Yeah, when's it next supposed to be reviewed? Who owns it? Who's responsible for it? Anything that might be relevant in that particular area.